Make sure you get us loud and clear.
Welcome to Used Wigs Radio.
This is the radio station with nothing but...
Lonely. Download some friends.
Hi, this is Langhorne Slim, and you are listening to Used Wigs Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Used Wigs Radio, podcast number 47. Tonight on our jam-packed show, we have an exclusive interview with local boy and national act Langhorne Slim. We also discuss our favorite current websites. And in a real coup, we have found a man who actually went on a John Mayer cruise and is willing to talk about it with us. Russell Gelman will be on the show tonight, people. I'm excited for both interviews. I think they're both going to be fantastic. Todd, first off, we got to get two things out of the way. You look completely different. You shaved your beard.
Skin-faced.
You look younger.
Not skin-faced. You're back to the stubble.
Well, as skin-faced as I can get. I shaved this morning. But I tell you, I am... definitely running out of responses to people saying, "Oh, you lost your beard."
No quick rejoinders anymore.
That crazy mustache didn't last long, huh? I was hoping.
Well, you know, I had the major sideburns and the crazy mustache just for one day because I happened to do the news broadcast at my school, and I wanted to get that kind of 70s anchorman look on, and the kids responded because of
that picture of you. It was Bill so the Butcher. Insane how much it looked like Bill.
We'll post it on the website.
Insane. Yeah. If you had that little eagle thing on your one eye, would have been perfect.
Who is Bill the Butcher?
From Gangs of New York.
Oh, I didn't see that movie.
Get out.
Put it on
your Netflix.
Yeah.
Excellent.
It's good.
He wears a top hat, though, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Bunch of violent mix turn of the century.
I'm very anti-top hat when it comes to movies,
I guess.
Also, Todd, speaking more about you and your circus face and everything... How did the eating competition go?
Oh, that was actually the final evening for the beard because so I donned a wrestling singlet, I called your knee pads.
We're gonna need a full pictorial for this.
Yeah, this should be like
had the cape, had the luchador Mexican wrestling mask, and went as the dragon.
The dragon. You
know? And I ate 48 wings in 5 minutes.
Oh, so disgusting.
Yeah, I was pretty proud.
Did you win?
No, I placed like fifth, or sixth. But it was really, if you have the opportunity to compete in an eating contest, take it. You haven't lived. And you'd be surprised. Like, first of all, I didn't get full. As a matter of fact, I went home and ate post-wing contest. Hmm. They're pretty short rounds, though, I guess, probably because...
48 wings wasn't enough.
I didn't probably clean the bones that well, but I ate 48 wings. But, it wasn't about getting too full to have to slow down or stop. It was about it getting stuck in your gullet.
Ugh.
You know, like, I just couldn't swallow. I couldn't get it down the esophagus.
Did they let you have water or something?
They let you have water, but that was of little use. Mm. You know, and I think the rookie mistake that I know that I made, and I'll be back next year, is that you get so wrapped up in speed... is that you begin to take additional bites when you haven't even begun to chew or swallow the previous one. And then once you get way too much in your mouth, then swallowing becomes incrementally more difficult. And, you know, it really slows you down. So looking at the tapes, when I went back and looked at the tapes, I think that I'm going to probably bite less or less frequently until I can swallow. Then I read a little bit about speed swallowing as well for some of the competitive eating sites. And... how about this? I got an email from, like, the Association of Competitive Eating.
Yeah.
Probably because I posted pictures of the competition on my website, and they probably, like, searched the web for instances of...
the guy who's the head of that is a real, like, a self-promotion machine. He's a real jackass.
Yeah.
Like, in the sense that he calls everyone athletes who do this. They're athletes. They're competitive eating athletes. And they kind of, like, taken it from just, you know, like a little carny act to, like, Nathan's hot dog eating contest to them is, like, the Super Bowl of competitive eating.
You would say they're not athletes? Is that...
No, they're as much athletes as golfers are athletes.
So you wouldn't say they're athletes either, then?
No, of course not.
Neither should be on ESPN.
No, neither should
maybe
be.
Maybe the Deuce?
They're hobbies. They're cute hobbies.
Cute
the Ocho.
Hobbies.
They're hobbies. Bowling, if you're bowling at each other, that's a sport. If you're golfing at each other, that's a sport. look at some of the fat ass golfers out there.
I hear you.
All right, and the fat ass. I looked at.
Is that a sport? Are they athletes?
They're a little more athletic than golfers.
Sports Talk Radio, Newsland 610 coming at you.
Do you think that people who are in better shape are better golfers, though?
No, not necessarily. No. Look at the number two golfers, Phil Mickelson, and he looks like a 48-year-old woman. He's got a woman who's, you know, like wearing mom jeans. He's
so
got breasts.
What's your definition of athlete or sport? Is it you have to be
frisbee.
Able to suffer injury at the hands of the other
You
team?
Have to have, yeah, the fear that no matter what you're doing, someone else is going to run at you and try to knock your jaw off.
Uh-huh.
You know? That's what I consider real athletic competition.
So basketball, walking through a bad neighborhood is more of an athlete.
Sure. Sure.
Than, like, perhaps the best dart player in the world.
Temple students are athletes, okay? Temple's night students are athletes to me, okay? Good point, Todd. Let's play a song, guys. We're going to go right to Russ. I'm going to confuse you here, and I hate to confuse you because you can spend hours on the confusion, but this is a band called Canadians, Russ, and right away you would be like, hey, you know, I really like these guys because their name's Canadians. But Russ, hold it, buddy. They're from Italy. This is a song called 15th of August. For a week in LA, trying to make my dreams come true. And California's on the line. She was here till the end of May. Now that wind is blowing out, and the stars begin to
you know.
And we're back, people. Used Wigs Radio, podcast 47, and that was Canadians, a band out of Italy, and they are on an Italian record label called ghostrecords.it, IT for Italy. Check them out. Really good band. I would say Swerve Driver meets... what, you don't like when I do this? No, it's Swerve Driver meets Old Teenage Fan Club. That's why I like it. You don't like that, huh, when I do it?
Well, when you do that, it's funny because people would do that to try to help someone become more familiar with the original thing. Like, but when you use two...
A real obscure bands.
More obscure bands. It's like, hey, if you like Swerve Driver, you might like...
All right, you're right. Good point. Point well taken. I won't do that again. As we mentioned at the beginning of the show, top of the show, we're going to have our interview with Langhorne Slim very soon. But we want to discuss, we want to devote a little time to what we are doing instead of work, what we're doing on the internet, what we're watching, some of the fun stuff we're viewing. And there's a lot of new stuff out there, and I've been getting quite a good amount of laughs and ha-ha-has. What are you guys into?
That thing that you posted on Newsweeks today, that, what was the...
Video Gum?
Video Gum, and but there was that blog on there where he was talking about his experience...
Today Show?
On the Today Show.
Yeah, I'll...
That was like tears.
Yeah, he's a really... if you're all familiar with Stereo Gum, which is one of the first real big music blogs, it's been around for a pretty long time. You know, there's a term for like music blogs, but this is probably the preeminent one, and they get a lot of play because they post really good MP3s. They do a lot of good indie rock music news. There's other ones like Brooklyn Vegan is my favorite. Large Hearted Boy, another great one. But anyway, Stereo Gum, the guy who runs that, it's like, listen, I love music. I'm a music geek, but I'm also a pop culture geek. So he started this new website called Video Gum. And the way they promote Video Gum, I believe he refers to it as everything, you know, you like about video, everything you like to watch except porn. So it's just quality, you know, pop culture, TV, video.
That's a big butt, though.
It is a big butt. And there's certain porns with big butts. But anyway, so he recruited two people to start this site. And one of the people he recruited, this guy Gabe Della... God, I'm going to mess up his last name. Gabe Della Hay. He's really good friends with our own Scott Shrake. So Gabe has a very funny website called Corporate Casual where he just posts nonsense about office humor. But he's got a really, really good sense of humor. And what Russ was referring to is he and the other editor at the site every week or so are going to dare each other to do something. So she dared him to get on the Today Show with a giant gaudy sign that says, I love you, Lindsay, or something like that. And you've never seen a more miserable guy having to go stand in a Today Show with all those Midwestern, you know.
But the best part of it was when he talks about, so the cast of the Broadway production of Go Diego Go showed up to do Hot, Hot, Hot. and they were forced to watch it three times as they rehearsed it. And so he's like, you can't even imagine the pain. And then there were all these shots of little kids completely baffled.
Yeah.
And he kept drawing like me, an arrow to their faces, me, and like all these like sad little kid faces. It's so funny.
Was he outside with the performers, or do you look through a window?
No, they're outside. Outside, they do a nice pan shot of them. It's all these Midwestern moms going crazy.
Yeah,
and you see Gabe holding a sign, just looking like like a serial killer, looking very miserable to
very
be there.
Funny.
But it's very funny, and he does a couple bits killing Al Roker, which. You know what? Bottom line, I won't steal any thunder on hating Al Roker, but there's a good group of people out there who, because they're fat and jolly or fat and loud, think they're automatically funny.
Yeah, he is not funny.
That is such a...
But he's not even fat anymore.
No, but he...
he's fat and... He's not fat or funny.
No, but he's like, still sloppy.
He's still sloppy.
Like, just sloppy. Like, it's like it deflated something,
yeah.
And then he's like, you know what? I lost all this weight, but why work out? Why try to tone up? I'll leave these hefty bags full of water sitting atop my pants. You know what I mean? Anyway, so that's videogum.com. Check it out. It's a very, very good site.
Speaking of fat, jolly people,
yes.
Did you see, and they featured it on Talk Soup as the clip of the week, and I know
how great
a fan,
is Talk Soup? Oh.
Willard Scott.
Oh, yeah, he's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, he's
what is the matter with him?
He's just an
old...
Did you see it? No. He's an old codger. They just let him on TV, and he just talks, you know, extemporaneously about nonsense. And they can't stop him. And he's just like, hey, happy birthday to all you 100-year-old people. And here we have these young girls. And good girl, hey, get her out of here. She doesn't know what she's doing.
I want to get me one. I mean, it's bizarre.
Where was he?
He
just
was
anywhere.
He was
they just show him.
You got a YouTuber.
No, but no, I mean, where was he that he came back from?
Oh, no, he's always been on the Today Show. He's been on there forever.
I thought he just returned to do that. So he actually is employed full-time as a broadcaster still?
Yeah, he's insane.
But he only does those little things.
Yeah, well, he does slice of life stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, because the funny thing is when you watch it is his delivery, like the timing is actually still pretty good.
Yeah.
And he's still got the kind of the personality for it, but what he's actually saying is a train wreck.
Mr. Willard Scott, down by the tidal basin. How are you, sir?
Hey, I just did the back 40 over there, pal. It's nice. It's refreshing and invigorating. William Howard Taft used to swim right back here. He put a bathtub in the White House, and they've been coming clean ever since. Mrs. Taft, in 1912, Helen to her friends, made a deal with a lovely people from Japan, and they started this tradition. And how many years old is it now? 90? 80-something, anyway. And you watch the Today Show, don't you?
I don't have TV.
You don't have TV. Okay. Get rid of this kid. Bring me another one. Ohio.
Ohio.
See, Cleveland. That's Japanese for how are you, right? Did I say it right? And these lovely children, they helped kick off the parade the other day when the festival got underway. What happened to my ad libs, right? The Shizumi Kodomo. from there. Thank you. Happy birthday. How sweet it is. You are beautiful.
Woo! Yeah, check it out.
Okay, Todd, what do you like? Give me a website you like that we can tell people to go to. Want me to give you a good one, guys? Go to The Consumerist, consumerist.com, just consumerist.com. Shoppers Bite Back. It's by the same people, I believe, who do a lot of like Gawker Media websites. And it's just all these great stories about people who buy stuff and like don't get taken for a ride, don't buy this, here's what you should do when you're going to buy this. Like there's stories like avoid eating stale candy by learning the secret candy codes. You go in there and they show you. You can look at candy and figure out the kind of cryptic codes about, hold it, this candy expired a year ago.
Really?
So this website, consumerist.com, has all these cool little stories about how you can become a better consumer.
Isn't that
consumer.
Interesting? I'll tell you, I used to work as a car salesman.
Mm-hmm.
And years and years and years ago, one of the particular car lots, and I wouldn't be surprised if a number of others did this as well, the stock number of the car, which is clearly written right on the windshield of the car, was actually had some kind of, if you knew how to interpret it, it had kind of the cryptic wholesale cost of the car. So the salesman could take a quick look at the stock number and know how low they could go, how much profit they were holding. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Russ, yeah. You got a website?
Yeah, there's a website called thesuperist.com.
Oh.
You heard of that? It's these two guys, and sometimes they have guest artists as well, but it started where they were just kind of screwing around. The one guy drew like a fake superhero.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's a great site, yeah.
Have you been on that site?
Oh, I love it.
And it was some made-up superhero, like a guy who fought people with a mop. And then the other guy had to draw somebody who could vanquish that person.
Oh, like
so
that.
So he would be like, a guy who could light the mop on fire. And then you had, and so they kept going back and forth with superheroes that could vanquish each other, and they each had to have some special power. And it's been going on for, I don't know if it's years, but at least months. So you've seen it, right?
Oh, yeah, it's brilliant.
Very, very funny. And it's, some great illustration work on there as well. So, really a great way to waste some time and very fun.
Okay. You know what we should do now, guys? Let's play a song.
All right.
Hey, Todd, I believe this is one of yours. This might be our Daytrotter session, I believe. Tapes and Tapes.
This is indeed from the Daytrotter Studio, Hang Them All.
Come on.
Hang Them All by Tapes and Tapes, our Day Trotter session of the day.
Good stuff.
Except we're going to play Langhorn Slims as well.
One of two Day Trotter sessions of the day.
Very cool. Todd, we're going to kind of, go through real quickly all a bunch of great websites you're going to hit people with and they can enjoy. So do you have something right now that you can tell people with?
Well,
about?
My responsibility to bring art to the people, and one of my favorite art-related websites is We Make Money, Not Art, and it's basically We Make Money, Not Art.com with
mouthful.
A dash between all of the words. We Make
what?
Money, Not Art.com. But it's a great blog that is updated frequently and is all stuff that really pushes the boundaries of what art is. I mean, you're not going to see paintings. You're not going to see landscapes. You're not going to see portraits. You're going to see people that are doing assemblages, installation art, and a lot of technology-based stuff. I mean, that seems to be the kind of next wave of artists coming out of college now are really interested in technology. So check it out. We Make Money, Not Art.com.
It looks like a boppy, right? What's that?
So I said, speaking of boppy, are you going to mention?
What?
Announce the second.
Oh, did I not know Alessia?
No,
oh, yeah,
you
yeah.
Mentioned it last time.
Okay. I have a new daughter. 3 weeks ago, we welcomed in my daughter, Una Patricia Lyons, to the world. She's awesome. She looks a lot like my other daughter did at this point. It's like almost scary. Like she spored off of Juliet. You know, just went bloop.
Mm-hmm. Like, but she's been genetically engineered.
Yeah, it's just like, but she's awesome. She's very cool. Juliet seems to like her. So it's twice as hard with two, I would say.
Hmm.
But it's twice as joy.
Rewarding.
Oh, yeah. But no one's listening to us to hear about baby talk so much. I want to talk about more websites. And there's not, I always say, maybe if we ever really wanted to make money, we could just do like a daddy website, like daddyknowsbest.com, where we talk about being hip and being cool. Do you know that's a real thing now where like indie rock parents and alternative parents like put up websites like how to still be cool and hip and still be a parent?
What?
Isn't that just
what?
on Todd?
Are you seeing my wincing face?
On Todd Barry's new album, he had the best thing. He's like, Todd Barry's delivery is all laconic and he's just like, I saw a little boy with a dead Kennedy's t-shirt. He was about 4. I think this is how it went at home. Honey, can't we just put on the little sweater and the matching pants? No! How will people know my exquisite taste in music if I don't let my son wear the shirt to show everybody? Yeah, that's how it went.
You're like parading around like almost a sandwich board on your
Yeah,
son.
You know,
yeah.
the kid's 3, you know what I mean? He doesn't need to go around with your Danzig shirt
it's
to show
like
that you're
putting bumper stickers on your notebook in high school.
Yeah, it's just like...
But you don't fault paleontologists for putting little dinosaurs on their kids.
No, that's true, but I'm just saying, you don't want
to... More subversive.
You don't want to turn your kid into... Let your kid be a kid and let him decide, you know what I mean?
What is Juliet into? Like, if you had to give her choice to put a shirt on with... Based on subject, what would it be?
It could be any shirt as long as she has her stickers that she put on the shirt that are just...
Customized.
I go into work with at least 3 or 4 butterfly stickers on my shirt, my jacket, any given day.
That's got to help your street cred.
Yeah. I'm an athlete when I walk to work.
Yeah.
I got to tell you about a really fun website, and I'm always a day late, dollar short when it comes to this thing. And I know it's like an indie sensation in the techie world. But have you guys been to You Suck at Photoshop? Have you seen these things?
That's the website?
It's on. There's a great video channel called MyDamnChannel.com. And so far there's 8 installments. And it's this guy who basically gives Photoshop tutorials in the most dismissive tones. He basically like everyone's a child. You're using $75 worth of Photoshop. Let me show you how to use at least $250 worth of Photoshop. He's very dismissive. He's hysterical. As the point of view is just the screen. So he's really good. He shows you really cool stuff in Photoshop. But as he's doing it, like his IM opens up and it's his buddy like, come on, log on. We have a raid to do. He wants him to go do Half-Life or whatever and go. It's like, dude, I'm doing this. All right. And through the whole thing, he's having like a mental breakdown. His wife cheats on him. She's leaving him. So it's like a lot of angst-filled stuff. But he also just, everybody is dumber than him. He knows everything about Photoshop. You don't. And you're going to feel his wrath.
Huh. Where would we find this?
Go to my damn channel or you can go to YouTube. Just put
okay.
You Suck at Photoshop.
Hey, speaking of that, have you guys seen the trailer for Monster Camp?
Yes, fantastic.
That looks like it's going to be great. You know what that is, Todd?
Todd, you familiar with...
It's a documentary on LARPers.
Live action role players.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks...
What a great subject.
Outrageous.
I like how the perfect thing as it opens, it's just this normal couple like, yeah, we were walking around and we looked in the field like, hey, honey, look at all these people. Yeah, what are they there for? Holy crap, they're dressed up as... As like demons and hobbits and Star Wars people.
Do you even understand how you play that? Like, what do you do?
Well,
do you actually fight?
And I think that these guys, like, they create characters and they play it like they play Dungeons and Dragons, because there's this clip of some guy who, like, decided that his character was like the evil moth or something. And what his power is it erases your mind or something. So there's a clip of him, like, walking up to some guy in the woods and putting his hand on his shoulder, and he's like, I'm the evil moth. I just zanked you. And the guy's like, what does that mean? He goes, you have no mind left. And the guy's like, oh, crap. It's ridiculous.
These are the most basement dwelling, shut-in people you can imagine. And it's just like, you know, the Hellmouth opens once a year. They're all let out and they meet somewhere together. And they're just like, all right, let's just have fun together in our sad little world.
Do you think it's just because, like, the regular world has done them so wrong? Like, they're just so...
Well, that's what I was going to say.
They turned in the hat and thought, let's start a second world and a third world.
Well, that's what Second Life's
about. Ultimately, it's harmless.
Like, yeah.
And so you got to feel bad for them in some respect. Well, no. In some respects, you don't have to feel bad for them
because they're having a fine time.
And it's harmless. They're not hurting anyone. But it's definitely funny to watch from an outside perspective, you know?
Well, so we can make fun of them in this world.
We absolutely can.
Right?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yes. But, you know, that's the thing with a lot of people who are so enwrapped in Second Life that
I think it's more, what is it, World of War? What is it?
World of Warcraft.
Warcraft? Yeah. It's more that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
World of Warcraft, people have killed themselves over that game because they've worked so hard to save up money and everything in that game, and then somebody comes and kills their character, and then they've committed suicide. Have you seen the South Park episode about World of Warcraft?
You know about the Chinese like gold mining industry? You know about that, mm-hmm. Tell them.
Basically, there's just these companies that hire these workers who just work, you know, 10 to 12 hours a day, and they'll sit there and be involved in these video games. They'll take somebody's character, and for 12 hours, they'll just sharpen arrows, or they'll just... sharpen arrows so then they can have these arrows. They make arrows so then they can go sell them and make money. So people are like, I want to be, you know, a bigwig in this World of Warcraft or whatever the hell.
So they
fight.
Pay somebody
they
to
pay
do them
someone
mundane tasks.
To basically give the power them up. You know what I mean? So they have more money, they have more stuff to trade.
Are you kidding?
It's insane.
Well, what's more insane is the people who work a full-time job.
Yes.
Then they come home and they work a shift in the tavern or something, serving monsters drinks to make money so they can go buy an upgraded shield or something. I mean, that's really crazy.
It's crazy, but it's so easy with technology today to just unplug from real life and plug in to...
But you know what? Plenty of we just talked about this before we went on the air. Plenty of people's jobs all day are to work on the computer and... They have nothing. I mean, they haven't done anything actually except for move ones and zeros in a different order.
Could you say that it's really the same?
All I'm saying is...
I'm not saying that it's not.
Yeah.
I'm saying that on some level, you could draw that comparison and be like, ultimately, what does that stuff really mean? If you're building websites, you're building this or that, I mean, is it the same?
Good point. All right, we're gonna get to your interview soon. But to add another good website on top of that conversation... You know, when you're at work all day in front of a computer, go to lifehacker.com. You ever go to Lifehacker? Mm-hmm. Great website. Basically just gives you tips on how to be more productive, how to handle new technology. And it's not really for techies, but it's about tech. And it's just showing you like, hey, are you working in Word all day? Here's something that'll help you with Word. Yeah, here's something that'll help you with, you know, your
tips
phone.
And tricks for...
Tips and tricks for...
Software and hardware.
To kind of optimize your workload.
Good.
Yeah. And... speaking lastly of, you get so wrapped up in being in the office and everything you do is computer related. After I left work early today, playing blocks with my daughter in our sunroom, and when I was done building this really, it was pretty awesome, I must say, stack of blocks, I automatically, my fingers hit save. Do you know what I'm saying?
No. Like, yeah. I don't want to lose this progress.
Yeah. So I'm looking there. I blocked on, and my fingers automatically went save because all I do all day long at work is save, and my fingers just do it. So I'm looking at it, and I'm like save.
So you felt a little bit of pride.
A lot of pride
about the block. So subconsciously, when you feel that during the workday, like you've accomplished something, you automatically press, save.
And then my hand goes over my shoulder and pats myself on the back.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's really weird.
It's sad.
I remember my mom, when she like got compulsively into Tetris when I was younger, was talking about how she had to stop because as she was trying to merge into traffic, she was seeing like her car fitting into the like Tetris
really?
Blocks. Yeah,
my dad was insanely addicted to Atari 2600 Pac-Man for like 2 weeks, like right around Christmas time when we got it. He would be up till 3 a.m. It's so funny because he was not a video game guy, but when that first came out, he could not stop.
What is this?
Freaking out, throwing the joystick around. Alrighty, have a little mellow tune to bring us down from that.
That's true.
Alright, so this is a song by the band The Annuals. They have a fantastic 5-track EP out that just came out, and it's actually a split release with The Annuals and then one of their side projects. And it really is fantastic. I'll be playing a track from the side project probably next cast. But this is a track off that new EP that's called Wet Zoo, and this is a track called Soar.
In the sorest of times, got your thoughts on my mind. The faster they come, the less I'm in the room. The brightest of days, you look 3 states away. I squint through the sun as you leave with the sparrows at dawn. In the coldest of nights, I sit shaking and bright. I spit through my teeth that roll down my chin, and then I stare. If I ever you out of bed without a kiss to the side of your head, well then I never deserved you from the start, so you can let loose the warmth around my heart. If I never I'm not
so that was the annuals with Soar. And now it is time for our interview with Langhorne Slim. So this is our interview with Langhorne before the show at Johnny Brenda's.
Johnny Brenda's, good place.
Johnny Brenda's is a great...
Oh, that's what everyone keeps saying.
It's you've never been? My favorite Philadelphia venue.
Great food. And they actually have probably the nicest green room that we've seen so far.
And literally green.
Yes. And tiny. Tiny, but nice. Mm-hmm. So this is our interview. And following the interview, we'll be playing Langhorne's Day Trotter session, which we actually talk a little bit about during the interview. So here we are with Langhorne Slim.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is Todd Marone of Used Wigs Radio, flanked by my pal, friend, and fellow podcaster, Russ Stark. And we are here with a distinct pleasure to talk to Mr. Langhorne Slim, just moments before he goes on at Johnny Brenda's in Philadelphia. Hi, Langhorne.
Hi, Todd.
Langhorne, is it true that you got your name or that you took your handle because you are from the Langhorne area?
Yes, very true.
Uh-huh.
How long did you live there for?
18 years.
Oh, all right.
Oh, wow.
That's born and raised.
You're stopping.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I was born and raised very close to Langhorne. As a matter of fact, growing up, my nickname was Langhorne Stocky.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
No. Did you grow up in Langhorne?
I went to Pensbury High School, as a matter of fact. Yeah, did you?
I went to Chamonix, and they thankfully asked me not to come back anymore, and then I went to Solbury School in New Hope.
Okay, well, you showed them, right?
I guess, yeah. It was just nice to get out of there.
So Langhorne is kind of a northeastern suburb of Philadelphia, where we are right now, and probably best known for being the home of Sesame Place.
Absolutely. And Reedman Auto Mall.
Right. So, and I believe Sesame Place is they're the good people that brought us the ball pit for kids. So probably the two chief exports of Langhorne would be Langhorne Slim and the ball pit.
If you like, sure.
How do you feel about that?
I feel great about it, man.
Yeah, so we just heard actually the first track of the new album. Very cool stuff, man. What else is new like with the new album? What did you do differently from what you've done in the past?
It's maybe a little bit more slower sounds, I guess.
Right.
It's a lot more piano driven, and it's a couple years later from the last record.
So right.
Just inevitable. Growth for better, for better. But
are you hitting any different like thematic territory with it?
Still singing about love.
Now I think that it seems to me that the lyrics are a big part of your music, as well as like the talking to the audience between songs.
Mm-hmm.
If given the choice, if you had to choose, would you prefer to write and play music without lyrics, or compose and write poetry and or words? Maybe even do stand-up comedy.
Oh, if I had to choose between one or the other.
If you had to choose between words or music.
I think when I was a little bit younger, I would have chose to try to do some kind of... wouldn't be stand-up comedy, I don't think I'd be good at that, but theater or something like that. But mm-hmm. at this point, no, it would be... If I had to choose, that would be pretty crappy. I would hate if somebody made me choose that, but I would choose to write music without words.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Yeah, but of course, very difficult to divorce those two things, because two of them together are
being
part
of
that's
them
what
both.
You are, yeah.
Let me do them both, man.
Uh-huh. we were thrilled to see that you had done and stopped by the Day Trotter studio mm-hmm. and did a session, and we recently forged kind of a partnership with them we're playing a couple of their tracks and promoting them as well. Tell us a little bit about your experience with Day Trotter.
It was very early in the morning. It was very hot, and was really was awesome. I didn't at the time that we did it. I actually didn't know if it sounded good or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I've listened to it maybe once. I don't usually like to go back and hear myself do that kind of thing.
Mm.
But we've gotten good feedback and just made friends out of those guys. I feel like and. It was really cool.
Is that the same for your studio recordings? Like, do you revisit them or do you?
No, those I listen to so many times until it actually gets put out, and then not in the process of like we record it. Obviously, you listen to it a lot in the studio when you're doing it,
right?
And then I tend to listen to it an awful lot until it gets released,
right?
And then it's just like whatever it is. It's better and gone,
So. Yeah, because it seems like you have a reputation that every show is kind of like this new emotional step, and it's not really grounded in trying to reproduce what's on the recordings, right?
No, not at all.
Yeah,
some people have told me that that's not good, that I should try to figure out how to, do it just like the live show, but I don't know how to do that
right
yet. And so it's kind of, I feel like, two different two different forms of expression. Well, it sounds kind of cheesy, but if you know what I mean.
No, not at all. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why you know, you're on the list of the guys that we're really interested in talking to because of that, right? And so many people go around and their tours are just a recreation every night, and you know, and I think with you, you kind of get something different every time.
Yeah, I mean, it's just for me what it brings out in that there's a live audience there.
Right.
I'm not saying it can't be for some other people. I'm not sure how to recreate that same. Not to say that you can't do it with a lot of passion and emotion and energy in the studio, but
it's
difficult to recreate the two feelings.
So a show like tonight, is this kind of like, because of the area, is this like a homecoming show for you? Or
more so because it's the first time that we are headlining, and from what I'm being told, it's selling pretty well.
Yeah.
So, but man, I've played in Philly a lot of times, and you know, as an opening band, obviously where you're from, you always want to, if you're doing this kind of thing, be known and dare even say respected or whatever. So, if that were to happen, that would be all right. But
what are some of your influences? Because you know, to see you on stage and to see the instrumentation that you use, like this, with the stand-up bass and the derby and the outfit, it seems like you've been inspired by someone either far away from Langhorne, Pennsylvania, and or of a different time.
Well, I was very close with my grandparents growing up, and maybe with like the style of like clothes that I wear.
Excellent.
Might take, you know, definitely the hat. Like they wore hats, and my brother and I used to raid their closets and get, you know, suits that were like way too big on us, and their hats and stuff like that. Musically, the trio that we have is just seems to make sense. I didn't put that much thought into it. I just know I wanted a stand-up bass player. I also really want a piano player to come on tour with us as a fourth member. So if anybody's listening that wants to play piano with us, give us a call.
Very cool. Yeah, but you definitely stand out aesthetically, visually, and musically from a lot of your peers of your age, you know, your mid-20s, and everybody else, you know, kind of grungy and sloppy, and you know, and you kind of have a nice...
It's quite a generalization.
Yeah.
A different...
you're complimenting me, and yet I'm offended.
Kids today!
Yeah.
And their untucked shirts and their long, crazy hair.
Yeah, and like, as if it doesn't look like you walked out of like a pipe-fitting outfit from the 1890s.
By the way, I've been meaning to tell you that. You got a good look yourself.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
That beard is really something else.
Bucks County represent.
Yes, it is.
what might happen on stage tonight that would be... new, fresh, different than something that you've done in the past? I mean, do you plan to unveil anything this evening?
Jeez.
For Russ and I?
Jeez.
Will you set the stand-up bass on fire?
Yeah, we'll do that. All of the songs that we played tonight, I'm going to write after we're done this interview, before we get on stage.
That's what we're talking
so
about.
So it'll be like 20 brand new songs. No, I mean, hopefully we could expect a good show.
You'll be playing a bunch off the new album, I'm guessing.
A bunch off the new album.
Great.
Some off the old album.
Who played piano in the studio sessions?
A guy named Sam Kassir, who... You familiar with Josh Ritter?
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's his piano player.
Okay.
So we recorded it at his place, Sam's place in Maine.
Right.
He has a great house and studio out there. And yeah.
If we were to look at your digital music player, because we are a podcast, and certainly people listen via the iPod or digital music player, what might we find? Who are some of the people that you're listening to on tour?
I got this last year into Lee Hazelwood very, very heavily, so I've been listening to a lot of Lee Hazelwood. Basically everything on my iPod, because my girlfriend got it for me for Hanukkah.
Mm-hmm.
And do you like how I said that?
Uh-huh. Yeah, very exotic, yeah.
But basically she put on all the music for me, so it's mainly her collection. So it's like Leonard Cohen's on there, Neil Young, you know, all the main men.
Is that the kind of stuff you grew up listening to? What were you a fan of?
I really liked Bye Bye Birdie as a young man.
Oh yeah?
I liked a lot of like classic rock, like the Kinks and, you know, Dylan and Neil Young and all that kind of stuff.
So have you forged any kind of interesting relationships with other groups as you've been touring around recently? Or
the Violent Femmes, obviously you opened for them for quite a while, right?
For four shows, yeah.
Uh-huh.
That was incredible. And we just toured with this band, Odeth, who I'd gone to school with a lot of those guys, and they were incredible. You guys should talk to them as well.
Cool.
And we've been fortunate. Just the bands that we've been able to go on tour with have been, in my opinion, just really good bands and really good people. So we haven't had a thankfully, a real bad experience with that yet.
Great. That's great. Well, we're thrilled to have you back in Philadelphia, and a fellow Bucks Countyan, I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
And I'll tell you that you may or may not know it from. I believe you live in New York City for the most part.
I live in California now.
Oh, you live in California.
Yeah,
okay.
Northern California. Yeah.
But the buzz around you returning here and playing Johnny Brendis has been really positive and really good. You've gotten a lot of positive press in Philadelphia, so
means a great deal to me.
Yeah, so, yeah. You should be really excited and proud, and we're really looking forward to the show.
Thank you.
And the new album. So good luck.
Yeah.
To
you guys are really sweet. Thank you.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Yeah. Well, we thank you for everything. Was our Langhorne Slim interview, and you most recently heard Langhorne Slim singing at the Day Trotter Studio, She's Gone.
Now, when you said She's Gone, I was hoping for
Hall
& Oates. Isn't that Hall & Oates? She's gone, she's gone.
Oh, yeah, but then there's Now She's Gone. Isn't that Squeeze?
Yeah, but that's not the name of the song.
Sorry.
That's called Black Coffee in Bed.
Oh, you're right.
Right. Name people and Squeeze. We'll go back and forth. I'll start off.
I don't think I know any of
Jules Holland.
Is Paul Carrack in that band?
Yes.
Okay.
I will go Glenn Tilbrook.
That's the end for me. Sorry.
Okay.
Look at Todd. He's watching a tennis match. Well, so the only way we're going to be able to bring ourselves back from that is to razz Russell Gelman about his trip with John Mayer.
That'll make me feel better.
On the John Mayer cruise. Why don't we try and get him on the phone?
We certainly will.
Yo.
Hello, Russell Gelman. Welcome to Used Wigs Radio.
Podcast 47.
Hey, guys, what's up?
How you doing, Russell? Hey, Russell, can we use your real name? Is that okay? I mean, we are talking about a man going on a John Mayer cruise. So.
I am definitely proud of my John Mayer love. You can call me by my real name.
We have to tell you,
we
tried 8 different guys who went on the cruise, and none of them would come on the show. They're just like, no.
I believe that was the total number of men on that cruise.
All right, Russell, set the scene. John Mayer cruise, where, when, how,
And we'll get to why, but let's just set it up.
Let's see. 4 days in the Bahamas. Ooh. On a cruise, like 11 bands. Of course, John Mayer and his weird bikini song thingamajig.
Oh, you
and,
did see that.
Yeah.
I actually did not witness that in person, but I saw the pictures after that.
He didn't wear it the whole trip?
No, you know, can't you tell? Those pictures are so posed. I'm sure he wasn't really.
Oh, okay.
Which is weird. It's kind of unique to see a picture with him that are so posed, you know? Like, everything just seems like, he just seems so relaxed usually. And so.
Don't diss my boy.
Trust me, I would never dare to diss someone of
did
that.
Did he have bangs or no bangs on the cruise?
You know, honestly, I wasn't really looking. You know, the funny thing is, come on, think about this for a second. This is a guy's paradise. I'm on a boat with thousands of women.
Oh my God.
And eight guys.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it. It's one way to justify a very odd experience. What? Okay, so you're on a cruise ship for 4 days, and do you wear, like, is it, you know, like when you go to a concert of a band you like? Like, I'm going to see, you know, Journey. I don't wear the Journey t-shirt. Do you wear, like, John Mayer clothes?
You know, there were people there that were diehard John Mayer fans and wearing all the stuff. But the cool thing is, all the bands he picked were really cool. Like, I don't know if you know Martin Sexton, who I'd never heard of before I went
there.
Yes,
I know Martin Sexton.
Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, actually, okay. So, all right, you're winning me over there, but I have to attack soon. All right, so there's 11 other bands. Was the whole cruise ship devoted to Mayerdom?
Yes. Yeah, it was like not a regular cruise. They took the front deck and they built like a beautiful stage.
Wow.
And there were other rooms all over the boat. So like from 5 o'clock in the evening till 3 in the morning, there was usually at least one band
on the Lido deck or?
Yeah, I mean, like the Lido deck, yeah. But, you know, like, you know, sometimes you'd have Martin Sexton on the main stage and you'd have, you know, some other band. You know, I can't remember any of the other bands.
You were just so
smitten by John Mayer. When does Mayer come on?
You know, the truth is that the best part actually was the exposure to all these other other bands. There's this one guy, Dave Barnes. He was pretty good. I don't know if you've heard of him. And who else? I can't even remember what that
was.
All the bands were great.
Was there like, was it kind of like a convention where, like, all right, at 7 o'clock, John Mayer will be at a table. He'll be signing stuff. Don't look him in the eye. And go up there, just have your either t-shirt, your breast, or your book, whatever you need signed, walk up there.
No, you know, it's funny that you say that because they even said, like, you know, they gave everyone a flyer that said, look, he'll be around the boat, he's hanging out, you know, feel free to say hi, you know, don't swamp him. And the first day we were on the boat, within the first 2 hours, he walked right by us with his entourage, and we were just like, hey, wait, that was... So he was all over the boat. I mean, he was, you could catch him anywhere. Some people said they saw him, you know, one day on the deck here, and the next day on the deck here. And one night, I actually got to play with one of the bands on the boat, which was the highlight of the trip.
Russell's a very accomplished musician. So, you know, it's not only are you a fan of his music, you actually know music well and you play a bunch of instruments. So this is more than just, you know, like some guy who, you know. Okay. So you actually, that's pretty cool. What instrument did you play?
I got to play the drums. It was actually really cool. There was this singer-songwriter guy who was there with his friend, and they were doing basically covers. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, hey, you mind if I sit in? And they're like, yeah, come on, you're going to suck. You're gonna
was
blow.
It all John Mayer covers?
No, it was like just good 80s rock kind of stuff. And after like 3 hours, it was 3 a.m, they wouldn't let me leave the stage. They asked me to come back the next day and play with them again. I mean, that was awesome. But while I was doing that, like literally the room over in the disco, the person I went with told me that John Mayer was in there buying everybody shots. And I mean, mind you, it was 3 a.m, so it wasn't that crowded, so he could do that.
Yeah, doing his job to seem swell on the
cool.
cruise.
Come on, I mean, how many... Can you picture Bono from U2 hanging out on a cruise ship, signing people's breasts and buying shots for people at 3 a.m? I just did
Hanging
out with Seals.
Because
you know?
He's such an ass. He's just out there trying to cure AIDS. Anyway.
Hey, what did they sell in the gift shop? Like puffy stickers and like glitter? What did they?
All right, yeah. Like, what was the quality of women? I mean, I know you probably have some, you know. Moms.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, they even said the first or the second day that the demographic with most of the women were 30 to 40 year old women.
Oh, really? Okay. I thought that was like would appeal to younger girls.
18. Huh? Me too. I was thinking, why do you think I went? I was expecting 18 to 22 year olds.
And you got their mothers and their know, older aunts and sisters and whatnot.
I gotta say, as a fan of his music, whether you like him or not, I mean,
not that, anyway. Go on.
I think it's the guy. Okay, but I think that's really cool to do that for your fan base.
It is
cool. We say, caterers, stay away. If you love my music, come on out. We're all going to have a big party. Drinks, lots of bands, music you might never have heard of. And, hey, a day to hang out in the Bahamas for not too much money.
Yeah. And
I thought it was pretty cool.
And then, you know, at any given time, you could be like, he's eating waffles, so am I. This is such a connection.
We're like twins.
No.
All right. So that being said, Russell, you have... You now have 30 seconds to tell us why John Mayer is great.
Okay, put me on the spot a little bit. Why don't you? You know, the guy has more soul in one finger than most musicians out there have in both hands. You know, have you guys listened to the new album? Has anyone?
Hold on, we're talking about, no, I'm sorry, maybe you didn't hear Rush. We're talking about John Mayer, M-A-Y-E-R. You mentioned soul.
You know,
I guess I heard something.
That, look, on every album, I concede, he puts out one song that I can't stand. It's the, here's your record company, enjoy it, make your money. It was that Waiting on the World to Change. I can't stand that song.
Never
and
heard
every
it.
Other song on the album is absolute blues inspired. Best musicians in the world playing on the album.
Well, I think you, Tino see, here's the thing.
Tino Palladino, who Russ might know, played on Tears for Fears, a couple of Tears for Fears albums. Steve Jordan, who's a big Beatles fan, and he I think he actually played with the Fab Four. I don't know, but
yeah, he surrounds himself with great legitimate blues musicians, right?
True, but you know, I was even reading the liner notes the other day. I was looking at the album again. He wrote every song except for the one crappy song on the album.
You were reading the liner notes with your hair in curlers.
What's
that?
What?
No, Russ was setting the scene when you were reading the liner notes. You were just laying on your bed, popping some bonbons in the mouth,
twirling your hair.
Hair and curlers, going la 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 la.
I'm telling you, that guy is a stickler for tone. He's got one of the best guitar tones. He can play that instrument like nobody's business, and you don't believe me? I'm taking you to the next concert.
Kicking and screaming, my friend.
You can watch it. You can see me throw my underwear. I'm kidding.
Damn you, Gelman, you won this round.
See you, man.
See you later. Thanks, buddy.
Right. Bye. Bye.
We'll be right back.
And we're back, people. That was the Quarter After with their song See How Good It Feels. Make sure you check out that band. Put in the Quarter After in Google and you'll find all about that awesome band. Guys, we're going to be wrapping up the show. And as always, we'll, you know, we like to do shout outs, but this whole show is kind of like shout outs. A shout out to Langhorne, a shout out to John Mayer and Russell. Is there anything you want to shout out or what you're listening to? I just want to start off with saying the new R.E.M. album is great.
Ah.
Yeah, it's really, really good. You know what thing is? I was a huge R.E.M. fan growing up. And their last three albums, they just kind of gave up on music. They had the same producer forever. It was safe. It was boring.
What was the last good R.E.M. album, would you say, before this one?
Green was great. But you know what? I would say the last good song, 1996, the album, I can't even think of it, but...
Automatic for the People?
Automatic for People was good. It was after that. I can't
Monster?
Think of
Monster? Monster?
One after that. I can't think of the name of it. Anyway, their last three albums were really just poor. Boring, just not enthusiastic.
But they have rebounded. Huh?
They've rebounded, and this album sounds a lot like Life's Rich Pageant, which to me, in my top five albums of all time, just love Life's Rich Pageant. Hmm. So I'm very excited to hear them back in the saddle doing good, and I'd like to give them a shot. Accelerate, I believe, is the name of the album. Guys, anything on your plate you'd like to shout out?
You mentioned earlier music blogs.
Yes.
Well, there's a great Mac program, and I can only assume there's got to be a Windows equivalent, although I don't care about it. And it's called Peel. P-E-E-L. Peel. Little piece of...
Wait, can you spell that again slower, though?
Todd, how would a normal person without a lot of education or knowledge spell the word peel?
And, you know, that same thing in that Langhorne Slim interview. He's like, and here we are with Langhorne Slim. Like, what is wrong with you?
You know, I usually speak so quickly that I feel like every once in a while, if I slow down dramatically, really it all evens out, you know?
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, so Peel is a nice little piece of software that is free for download, although I believe you can upgrade it to a professional level or version, more complete version at least, for a couple bucks. And you plug in, you put in the URLs of the music blogs you like. It checks daily and sucks all the MP3s down. Yeah, and it actually has a really great interface that's very similar to iTunes, so you can listen to the music there, or you can actually, through the click of a few buttons, dump the music from the Peel application right into your iTunes library. Okay. Long story short, you don't have to actually go to the individual blogs, read about, sift through, and find the music themselves. It yanks all the music and all the MP3 files down from the RSS feeds for you.
Wow.
Delivers it right to
you. So that will do that from Daytrotter?
Does it do Daytrotter's not set up as a as a music
blog.
But
it would do it from Used Wigs, right?
Yeah.
It would.
Huh. We gotta try this out, Todd. This is fantastic technology.
Once
you're trying
to
P-E-E-L. P-E-E-L.com. Is it really just peel.com?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool they got that URL.
Did you hear something?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I didn't think it was just Peel.
No, the piece of software is called Peel.
Right, what is it, like Peel _?
You can find that at www.getpeel.com.
Oh, okay. Russ, do you have any other things you'd like to shout out?
I'll shout out one more website,
sure.
Needorama.com.
Yeah, I was going to shout that out.
Yeah,
I love Needorama.
I mean, that's kind of similar to the Video Gum. I mean, it's a great place to go and just kill some time, scroll through. It has link videos and all different kinds of things. Actually, one of the things that you might find interesting, Todd, is they had something up there today about they had prototype characters for the old Masters of the Universe cartoon. So remember how they had like all those wacky guys with big hands and they all had weird things that they could do?
Yeah, they were always good at one thing. Like this guy excelled at extending his neck so he could see a little bit
higher. Exactly.
This guy was great at karate chopping.
There were other characters that were designed, but they were never used or never created. So there's actually this whole... So that's kind of cool to see those. But then there's these people who take it one step further, and you probably heard of these people who they kind of like customize action figures. So there's these people who they've gone and taken those original drawings and they have made the prototypes of those characters based on existing components, and then they melt things and they add new components.
I love the sound of this.
Yeah, I think you would like it. So you have to go to Needorama to see where the link is to it. But you know, a great site. It's just a real potpourri of all different kinds of things.
There's a major market for people that amend action figures.
What?
And it's getting smaller, perhaps, by the day, because more and more action figures are coming out of different characters. But like when I was a teenager, I used to actually work the comic book circuit. I'm sorry, the comic book like festival and convention circuit.
Sure.
And we would get a table.
Clown?
No.
Doing what?
I actually made drawings from comic books, and I would sell my original drawings, like, you know, 16, 17. But so a lot of guys made a real killing on buying existing action figures, opening the steaming open the package, and then painting a more obscure action figure on top of it. You know, like you would take Punisher and you could turn him into a lot of different guys.
Right.
That just happen to have a regular human head and change the hair color, paint it up, and then they would put it back into the little blister pack and change the background image. And, you know, now you have obscure kind of peripheral character from a comic book, and people would gobble them up. They would commission guys for like $200 to make their favorite comic book character.
So they could play with them or just have them?
Probably just to have them, yeah.
Russ, another Needle-Rama, very similar. I'm sure you got to BoingBoing.com.
Oh, I don't know.
Boing Boing's great. They've been around forever. It's very similar to Needle-Rama. They're really smart guys, techie guys, but they're not afraid to put just, like today on their homepage, they just had a great video of a dog who refused to go out. It was a screen door with no screen in it, but he was so used to not going out that door. Even though the guy's showing him there's no screen, he's doing with his hand, the dog just would not go out. And it's just 2 minutes.
Wait till the door opened,
it was just 2 minutes of the dog. And like, they'll put that up, but then they'll put up like a really cool story about digital rights management. You know what I mean?
Right,
like, the guys are really smart. They have a good filter.
Well, I have to say that Needle-Rama I was turned onto that by Phil Sharon, who will become a new Used Wigs Radio correspondent next week.
Yes.
Or the next show, when he is here to discuss the fact that he's going to see a Jandek show.
And we discussed Jandek 2 years ago.
This Saturday.
All right. This is going to be good.
Jandek,
and people,
the recluse.
Yeah. Just look up Jandek and then you'll know what all the hullabaloo is about.
So he'll be here talking about the Jandek show that he's going to see this Saturday.
And one last great website. Earlier I mentioned Brooklyn Vegan. My favorite music spot. There's a great music website in Philadelphia called PhillyGirlAboutTown.com. PhillyGirlAboutTown.com. And Royce, I believe, there. She's awesome. This is a great website where they just concentrate on Philly music news, great photography, great recaps of shows, and it's all women, you know, all like women into indie rock, very good writers. They have very good taste in music. And they have a show coming up at the Khyber, April 24th. Check that out, with bands like, I believe, National Eye, East 100, a couple other bands. But a great website. Check that out, and you'll dig it. So that was our show. Again, check out Langhorne Slim. Check out all those great websites. And check out John Mayer Cruise at your own caution. We'll see you guys later. We'll be right back.